This Sunday, we are kicking off the new year with a week of prayer and fasting and with a Wesley Covenant sermon, which is simply, it's very liturgical, which means there's going to be words on the screen. It's written out if you were handed one of these outlines. But it just simply goes through what we as believers in Christ, what a covenant is an agreement between us and God saying, I'm going to follow you. And what does that look like? And I think sometimes we need to be reminded about what a relationship with Jesus looks like. And so we wrote words on a page. We gave you pens to circle with. So if anything stands out to you, or maybe the as you're reading through it or you're listening, just a phrase or a verse comes, then we encourage you to write it down, to think about it. And if that stops you for the rest of the service because God just wants to speak to your heart about that, that's okay. Because we're here to worship God, and we're here to worship God together. So wherever God meets you at, just set up camp there. Pause, think about it. We also handed you a sheet that looks like this, a little card. This is our week of prayer and fasting. We're setting it apart just to say, God, what does this year look like? What do you want it to look like? And so we are inviting you, our church family, to fill out this card if you so choose. Maybe you want to give thanks to God, or you want to share a trouble, something that you've been praying for. And when we take communion, at the end of the service, then we would invite you to come forward and put them in the offering plates before you take communion. Kids, if you have a prayer request and you want to make sure it gets into that container, you can either give it to your parents, or when Lisa calls you up and we pray for you, then you can bring it up yourself, okay? And you can put it in the offering plate, and we will pray for them before you leave, okay? So hear the call to worship. The first Sunday of the new year is a good time to consider the Wesley Covenant service, a service of commitment that was begun as part of John Wesley's ministry over 230 years ago. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist movement, which began as a revival within the Anglican Church and then eventually became the Methodist Church. Our own Free Methodist movement is part of that branch of the Christian family tree. This renewal service was a time for the Methodists to gather annually in a time of self-examination, reflection, and dedication, wholly giving up themselves and renewing covenant with God. During this service, we will be reminded of three things: our condition as sinners, our solemn obligation to reaffirm our covenant relationship with God, and an opportunity for a fresh experience of the reality of God's promises and presence. Join with us now as we enter into this service. Together as a congregation, let us renew our covenant with the Lord for the coming year. Let us pray. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Almighty God, you search our hearts and you see every part of us. All our desires are known to you, and from you no secrets are hidden. By the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, cleanse our hearts so we may perfectly love you and glorify your holy name. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So let us now pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
If you could follow along in your handouts, I'll be reading from the book of Philippians, New Living Translation, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Paul writes to the church in Philippi, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone you see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. For I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Dearly loved brothers and sisters, what I'm about to read, first part is for those that don't know the Lord, and the second part is for those who do. Dearly loved brothers and sisters, the Christian life is a life found in Christ, redeemed from sin and consecrated to God. It is offered to all those who renounce their old self-centered ways and embrace a life focused on following Jesus, not our own, and trust Him to give us the strength we need to accomplish it. What decision have you made? If you haven't already, I would encourage you to follow Jesus. With all that's in me, I would encourage you to follow Jesus. The choice you make today will affect your eternal destiny. Christ offers to bring you to God. Will you accept His offer? If you choose Christ and His ways, you are blessed forever. Refuse Him, and you are undone forever. Do not rest until this matter is settled once and for all. There's no greater and more important decision you will ever make. See to it that you make a good choice. For those of you who have chosen to join Jesus on this great adventure, having cast yourselves upon His righteousness, you have been admitted into the new covenant, which He is the mediator. He sealed it, this covenant, He sealed it with His own blood so it would last forever. Rejoice. For on one side of this covenant stands God, who promises to give us new life in Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Every day God proves His goodness and His grace to us, showing us that His promise still stands firm. On the other side, we stand as those who promise to no longer live life for ourselves, but instead to only live for Jesus Christ because He has loved us and given His life for us. With this fresh in our minds, we realize that it is important for us to remember and reaffirm our promises and vows, and so we come today to renew our covenant with God. Many generations have done this before us. Today, we make the covenant our own, renewing with both joy and sincerity the covenant that binds us all to God.
All right, we'll move now to the confession. We are those who seek to live as true disciples of Jesus Christ, but sometimes we fall short. Let us now examine ourselves before God, humbly confessing our sins and submitting our hearts so that we do not deceive ourselves and cut ourselves away from God. Let us pray together. Father God, you have set forth the way of life through your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you love dearly. We shamefully confess that we have not followed him and have been reluctant to follow him. You have spoken and called to us, but we have not listened. You have revealed yourself to us, but we have been blind. You have stretched out your hands to us through our friends, but we have passed by them. We have accepted your gifts and offered little thanks. We are unworthy of your unchanging love. We now confess to you our sins. Please forgive us for the poverty of our worship, for the selfishness of our prayers, for our inconsistency and unbelief, for the ways we neglect fellowship and your grace, for our hesitation to tell others about Christ, for the ways we deceive others. Forgive us for when we waste time and when we misuse the gifts you have given us. Forgive us when we have made excuses for the wrong things we have done and when we have purposely avoided responsibility. Forgive us that we have been unwilling to overcome evil with good, and that we have not been ready to carry our cross. Forgive us that we have not allowed your love to work through us to help others, and that we have not made their suffering our own. Forgive us for those times when instead of working for unity, we made it hard for others to live with us because of our lack of forgiveness, inconsiderate judgment, and quick criticism. Forgive us for when we have not tried to reconcile with others, and when we have been slow to seek redemption. Forgive us also for these sins that we silently confess to you now. And as you do, what is a word or phrase that stands out to you? Think about it and ask Jesus about it in this moment. God, the Father of all mercies, is faithful to cleanse us from our sins and restore us to Christ's image. Praise and glory be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We now yield ourselves to the Lord. As for his servants, we must give up the dominion and control of ourselves to Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you may obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Let us now say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In so giving ourselves to the Lord, we affirm that we will heartily embrace what He has appointed, both corporately and personally. Let Him appoint you to your work. Christ has many services to be done. Some are more easy and honorable, others more difficult and menial. Some are suitable to our inclinations and interests. Others are contrary to both. In some way, we may please Christ and please ourselves, as when he requires us to feed and clothe ourselves. Indeed, there are many spiritual duties that are more pleasing than others, as to rejoice in the Lord, to be a blessing and praising to God. These are the sweet works of a Christian. But then there are other works wherein to please Christ is to deny ourselves. Find what it is that Christ expects of you. Then give yourselves totally to His will, without bargaining and without reservation. Make us what you will, Lord, and send us where we are to go. Let us be vessels of silver or gold, or vessels of wood or stone. As long as we are vessels of honor, we are content. Nor the ear, one of the nobler and more honorable instruments. Let us be the hands or the feet, as one of the lowest and least esteemed of all the servants of our Lord. Lord, place us in your kingdom, in the roles you have designed for us, in exalted places or humble places. Let us have all things, let us have nothing. Beloved, the commitment to Christ we have just expressed is the essence of discipleship. When we have laid all our hopes upon Christ, casting ourselves wholly upon the merits of His righteousness, when we have with understanding given ourselves to Him, then we are Christians indeed. His people are a willing people. He will be all in all, or He will be nothing.
The covenant. And now let us confirm our commitment by a sole covenant to God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. What would it take for us to make a covenant with God, to commit ourselves to His plan for our lives each and every day, beginning today? First, it would mean the forgiveness of our sins and the realization of our continual need of grace of God in our lives. Second, it would mean a resolve in our own lives to live as disciples of our Lord, forgoing our own selfish motivations and living in our world as servants to others in the name of God. Finally, it would mean not trusting in our own strengths and abilities, but anchoring in the source of our strength and abilities, God Himself. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, in the quiet of this moment, we accept your gift of covenant relationship with you, God, of heaven and earth. We recognize that the benefits of your covenant relationship come through obedience to your commands, and so we offer ourselves as disciples of your Son, Jesus, the one who came and lived out your perfect law of love. We ask for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit to be true to your ways. We cannot obey unless Jesus lives in us. We come to you through the work of your Son, Jesus, who opened the way to your holy presence through his life, death, and resurrection. Amen.
You gave so freely. We receive your grace. we receive your truth. You said, do not be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Tell God all that you need. And his peace that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, as we lift up to you these prayers today and throughout this coming week, we will hold firm to the hope of that verse to pray about everything. And we will receive your peace that passes all understanding. And so, Lord, in the process of receiving your peace, help us to think about what is true and noble, right, pure, and lovely. Help us to think about what is admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. And help us to be content in all things, because with your strength, we can do anything. So, Lord, we surrender these requests to you. We thank you for meeting us at your table. Lord, we ask that you would now receive glory from your children. Thank you for the privilege of calling you Father. And glory be to the Son who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has now become our Lord and Savior and Redeemer. And glory to the Spirit who by his mighty power has turned our hearts from sin to God. You, God, have become our covenant King, and through your unlimited grace, we are your covenant people.